Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, you're listening to Core Dialogues Radio, presented by ID Group, where thought-provoking conversations and thought leaders meet on the air. Every Thursday at 4 p.m., we hit the airwaves with forward-thinking ideas, philosophies, and questions, connecting our listeners to ideas that will get you thinking. The answers are in our studio. Now, here's your host and whole systems branding expert, Dr. Mona.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's edition of Core Dialogues Radio. As we do every week, we're streaming here live from Business Radio X Studio here in beautiful downtown Pensacola, where it's finally getting a little cooler here. So I'm your host, Mona Amadeo, and like I said, every Thursday at 4 o'clock, you can connect with us live here at coredialogues.businessradio.com. And what we try to do every week is bring some interesting guests on to really talk and talk with you and connect you with some ideas and people that we hope will inspire you and challenge you and even motivate you. And so this week, I'm really excited to introduce you to our guests. But as you've heard me say before, here we really believe that people, the stories of people, the stories of organizations can really have a very positive impact on the world. So the guests that we bring to you every week are people who are doing things. There are people that are using their talents to make a positive difference. And we're just always really excited to share their stories, their stories with you. And I'll tell you, this week's guest is someone I've known for over 20 years. And she's just one of my very, very, very favorite people as a colleague, as a friend, and just as a all around just great, great lady. And I sometimes describe her as someone who has a very, very unique talent and as an expert at herding cats. So before you wonder what I'm talking about, let me explain. You know, you've often heard leaders, I hear it often when we're working with our clients, say that their greatest challenge is, how do we get all of the cats, you know, herded in generally the same direction? What they're basically saying is, gosh, how do we get everybody on the same page? How do we get everybody moving in the same direction? And what that's really about is, you know, people are still trying to figure out, how do we ignite and connect people? How do we get them working together collectively toward a shared vision? And Dr. Jackie Stavros, who's our guest today, is an expert. She's an expert at, as I said, herding the cats. In other words, she's an expert at really engaging people and inspiring them and creating a context where they can all work together collectively toward a vision. And Jackie is a lot of things, but she is in her full-time job is I think her full-time job is a mom and a wife, but her work job is a professor at Lawrence Tech University in Detroit, where she teaches management courses at both the master's and doctoral levels. But beyond that aspect of being a great teacher, she's a consultant, she's a researcher, she's authored more books and articles than I can possibly list here around the topics of change management and strategy. And for what we're talking about today, I've asked Jackie to come on and talk about SOAR, which is something that she is the co-creator of. There's a book that I'll list on our website later that she and Gina Hendricks wrote called The Thin Book of SOAR. And once you hear her talk, I'm sure you'll want to click onto that and learn a little bit more about the book and download one. But SOAR is basically a strengths-based strategy planning process that's based on the principles of appreciative inquiry, which she'll tell us about in just a moment. And I think one of the exciting things about SOAR is that it's very practical approach. It's a simple approach. I think when you hear her talk about this, you'll go, well, of course. But it really takes a different twist. Most of us, when we think about strategic planning, we think of SWOT, right? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I think you'll see that SOAR looks at the world a little different. It's a difference between the glass half empty and the glass half full view of the world. AI, appreciative inquiry, is the basis of a lot of the work we do at ID Group with our whole systems branding approach and branding from the core. So Jackie and I share a passion around this idea that when you can connect people to the possibilities and really get them to think in terms of what their hopes and dreams are, a different kind of energy explodes in an organization. And those cats that are often so difficult to herd aren't perhaps so difficult after all. So Jackie, welcome. I'm so glad to hear you and have you here and for you to share all that you know and your wisdom and ideas with the Core Dialogue community. So welcome, and wish you were here in person, but it's nice to hear you over the air.
Thank you, Mona.
So, you know, as I introduced you, I talked about SOAR, something that you and Gina created as a kind of an alternate to the concepts of SWOT. And I talked about it being an AI-based approach. I guess you and I have been involved in this for so long that doesn't everybody know about AI, but a lot of people don't. So can you take just a little bit of time and talk to us about what do we mean by an AI-based approach, or even the strengths-based approach to strategic planning, or really, frankly, to anything?
Absolutely. So let me tell you that appreciative inquiry, we keep referring it as AI, and that was created by David Cooperrider in 1985. And I just want to share with you, the first AI engagement was when David Cooperrider was involved with the Cleveland Clinic, which you have mm-hmm. probably heard of,
yep.
from a group of faculty at Case Western Reserve University. And the traditional diagnostic way is getting together with doctors and nurses and staff and to say, okay, so what's going wrong? How do we fix things? And it was a challenge at first to David going in there. And when he positioned the inquiry, the questions more towards the doctors, the nurses, and the staffs about what are some things going on right with the clinic? What do you want more of? And what is your dream for the Cleveland Clinic? And he approached these questions from a very appreciative, generative tone. And there was a lot of excitement, and the doctors and the nurses and the staff really began to open up. And he found that participants found a lot of positive cooperation and innovation. And they wanted to design the Cleveland Clinic back in the late 1980s as a world-class health organization and egalitarian governance. And what would that look like? And you can get a lot of the history of appreciative inquiry by visiting the AI Commons. How I entered the story is I was fortunate to meet David. It was around 1995 at the time that appreciative inquiry was still emerging. It was known as a qualitative research way of knowing, and it really blossomed into a way of being and helping organizations, Mona, as you said, achieve its dreams. And he was very generous, invited me into several projects over the years. And appreciative inquiry is a strength-based philosophy that addresses the starting point from, okay, so what is going well in our organization? Even if things are going bad, there's got to be something going right. And what is the positive core that if we don't understand this core and build on it, the organization may cease to exist? So the basic tenet of appreciative inquiry is that any system you look at, it can be a system of you or a team or a department, organization, a community, it will grow in the direction that your stakeholders focus on. So appreciative inquiry came out in about 1987. There's a 4D cycle of discovery, dream, design, and destiny that allows you to bring a group of stakeholders together and through a collective shared dialogue, look for the best in the people and their organizations and the relevant world around them. So try to look at appreciative inquiry, and it does have a set of principles in its 4D cycle. It can really unleash energy and people to create change that they never thought was possible.
And, you know, Jackie, I've seen it at work. I mean, you know, both of you and I come from this world, and it's something, you know, the basis of our work is based in appreciative inquiry. That's what's been really cool to observe, that AI really is a foundational philosophy in so many ways. While certainly it has its principles, et cetera, it has been applied to many, many things. I apply it to how do we create the organization story? How do we create, you know, a brand that is really reflects the essence of what the organization is, who it is, what it believes in, and its greatest hopes and dreams. So, you know, whether you use it for strategic planning, whether you use it for branding, and, you know, I've heard people talk about using it with their families. You know, it's a way of being in so many ways, and a way of approaching life. So talk to me a little bit about how you move from, you know, working with David. You know, I know you have your degree, your your doctorate from Case Western, so under his tutelage to a certain extent. So you had a deep knowledge of this AI. And so what was it about the transition that you made of, okay, how do I use AI in the strategic? Tell me how all of that came about and how SWAT, you replaced SOAR with SWAT, or SWAT with SOAR, and why you believe it's a better approach.
Okay, that's another great question. So imagine this. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. I worked in the marketing and international business development area for automotive, high-tech field, branding and marketing software systems for engineers. And as my career grew, I came to senior management and I was involved in strategic planning processes. Mm-hmm. And we used a very analytical tool called SWOT, which stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And what would typically happen over time is people really got hung up in the weaknesses and the threats. And it would at times drain their energy. And people didn't know, okay, so we've done this analytical tool, SWOT, what do we do next? Mm-hmm. And SWOT was traditionally deployed at the top level of organizations. And so you have senior leaders, you might involve some directors to work on strategic plans. So that was SWOT. That's what I grew up with. That's what I learned about in my MBA program. And when I got to, when I decided to go to Case to earn a doctorate, I was really interested in the human side of organizations. Mona, as you refer to, herding cats. And that's because you've got people from different disciplines, different strategic business units. And, you know, what do you do in a strategic planning process that could ignite momentum and energy and innovation? I was very fortunate that David Cooperreiter was my dissertation chair, and he had asked me to join a project he was working on with the GEM initiative, which was Global Excellence in Management Initiative. And this was probably in the late 1990s. And my dissertation was about capacity building and how do you build organizations of the future with appreciative inquiry. So based on appreciative inquiry, I looked at AI as like an operating system or a platform. So think about when you get up in the mornings or and you turn on your smartphones or you turn on your computers, there's an operating system that makes it go. And at time, your operating system can crash and fail and you got to reboot it. And I look at appreciative inquiry as my operating system, pretty much everything I do. And as Mona said earlier, I've used it to raise my kids. I've used it in organizational settings, pretty much everywhere I go. So if you think about how SOAR emerged, I took the S and the O of SWOT. And from there, thought, what would we do next if we had employees in a room, not just senior leadership, but what if we had the relevant stakeholders, the people that are also really close to the customers? Because sometimes senior management isn't the closest to the customers. Yeah. What would we want to talk about? Well, we would talk about aspirations of the customers and aspirations of the employees and the community. And you'd want to design and deliver a strategy based on the identifications of strengths and opportunities, and that it is very results driven. So you are right. SOAR is simply a framework that takes the S and the O from SWOT with the A and the R, which means aspirations and results, and invites organizations' members to create a living strategy that is very generative. And SOAR and appreciative inquiry have this whole systems philosophy, which means that you can design at any level. You can design a strategy for your life, for your team, for your department, even industry-wide.
Yeah, and I think one of the things there that you said that I think is when I talk about herding the cats, I think the concept of strategy living beyond the C-suite, right? How do you bring it down into the organization in a way that people own it beyond the, you know, what how it's delivered on a sheet of paper? So one of the things I was always impressed with SOAR is how you engaged the, you know, either a representative sample of the organization or everyone in the organization in trying to figure out this, okay, these are our strengths and opportunities. Now, how do we build on that to create our greatest, you know, the aspirations or our greatest hopes And then the R being, you know, what's the results, right? How are we going to drive results? So I think that's one of the really cool things about SOAR is the way it can be deployed at various levels of the organization and be very valuable.
Correct. And so if you look at SOAR, and there's four core questions that you can ask, but SOAR is like, what can we build on? What are our capabilities, our strengths? And opportunities are what, after we have a stakeholder conversation, what are our stakeholders asking for? Our employees, our customers, the community that the organization is in, the suppliers. The aspiration question says, what do we care deeply about? What do we want to be? Where do we want to go? And at the end of the day, you have to know if you're succeeding. So you've got to put down a set of results. And when you get back to appreciative inquiry, you do this through a dialogue of the four Ds I talked about earlier, which is discovery, dream, design, and destiny.
Yeah. So if we think in terms of the results, Jackie, so take me through this and take it from the, you know, the framework and the just the conversation. Tell me how some of this is applied into an organization. So if we have an organization who's trying to get from, you know, as we said, herd the cats, how do you come into that organization and deploy a SOAR, as you're calling it, an operating system for the organization?
Okay. So if you think about, again, I'm going to go back to Cooper Ryder's appreciative inquiry philosophy, is SOAR can work in any type of organization. The key thing is, does management believe, if they truly believe in their employees and trust that they have the solutions to make a difference, then appreciative inquiry and SOAR is a really productive process for you. So what you move away from is the traditional top management doing the strategic planning. And then you say, what employees could we involve in our strategic planning process? And it assumes that everyone has a responsibility for strategy. And you want to talk about what employees deal with customer service directly with their customers, inventing products, suppliers. And you want to invite them into the conversation of strategic and strategic planning. And SOAR is really a framework for the way you want to think is strengths, opportunities, aspirations, and results. Mm-hmm. And the way you want to create your plan is leveraging strengths and opportunities and innovations. And that's how you begin to invite the stakeholders. Now, I will tell you, some organizations will invite customers into the planning process.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing. When I'm listening to you, I can think of some organization types that would really embrace what you're talking about and others that would say, are you crazy? You know, so are there certain kinds of organizations where this works better than others? Are there particular ones that seem to thrive with this? You know, who would be a good fit for using this?
You know, it's really interesting because Jenna Heinrichs, we came together because she brought appreciative inquiry and SOAR to John Deere. And they thought,
right, huh?
They thought she was crazy at the time.
Yeah.
But SOAR has been used all over John Deere and Boeing Corporation and the Girl Scouts and Procter Gamble. So it goes back to, it can work in any type of organization at any level if you believe in the process of strategic dialogue and that strategy is truly created by the people who are going to have to implement it.
Yeah, exactly. And doesn't that make so much sense? Yet still there are organizations, I think, that, you know, just don't trust that. Don't trust that process and don't trust involvement. What do you think, Jackie, at the very human level of this, as you've seen it work with organizations, as you step back and look at it through your lens as a consultant and having done this, you know, many, many, many times, what are some of the factors that you think attribute to the success of this type of approach?
I would say that because you're willing to bring in representation of the whole system, you get engagement at all levels. So the implementers of strategy actually get to help with creating strategy. So that's one of the characteristics. And that's what makes it very generative. Another characteristic is it's very dialogue and action-based. So when people walk out of a SOAR session, they know what they got to do before the strategic plan gets written. Or sometimes they'll do what's called a quick sort, and they'll just meet for a couple hours to come up with a strategy to resolve a problem they have and create a solution. Mm-hmm. And the two most obvious characteristics is that it's very strength and opportunity focused to create positive possibilities and innovations. And there's very focused attention to what the stakeholders are looking for and also anticipating future stakeholders, and that you have to have results, and all of this aligns with strategic implementation and strategic action.
And I think, you know, what you're pointing out here too is that when you are responsible, I have a saying, you know, people will defend that which they create, right? So as we've said many times, they'll support and defend which they create. So what they're doing is basically self-diagnosing and saying, this is what we have to do to get from point A to point B, and this is how we're going to measure it. I mean, in simple terms. And so there's a responsibility for the results that you can't get when someone comes in and tells you what to do.
Well, and typically the president, the executive director, that person is the chief strategist of the organization. But the responsibility and the burden of strategy shouldn't be solely on that person. That person is responsible for making sure the assessing, planning, and implementing is done. But you begin to bring in people who have everyday contact with stakeholders. And it really creates, because it's very strength-based, it's a lot of positive energy, momentum, and excitement. Yeah. Now, look at me. I get to be involved in creating strategy in this organization.
Yeah, and ownership. And, you know, strategy is just a scary word. You know, it lives somewhere else, and it comes down in a memo to us in some form or fashion. But the way you're doing it as a strategy is basically a very organic process that involves people who are hands-on. And you know, and I always tell our clients as we work with them, and they get really nervous. I don't know if you've experienced this, but we are, like I said, similar kind of work in that we try to bring in a very diverse group of people. And I've had people look at me and say, so you're going to put a doctor in the same room with the janitor, with the secretary, they don't like each other. And so the fear of putting these diverse perspectives in the room is oftentimes really, really real tangible when you're doing that. Have you seen that in your work?
Yes. And what happens, I can remember, if I go back 25 years ago, my goal was to be a vice president of strategic planning in an organization. And lots of organizations had strategic planning offices. So it was very centralized.
Yeah.
And it was only if you could climb the corporate ladder, you could get into strategy. Those positions don't exist today, and those offices don't exist. So even the environment that organizations operate in, strategy is everybody's job. And the key question you've got to keep asking is, does my organization matter?
Mm-hmm.
Do my teams matter? Does my department matter?
Yeah. And when you say that, tell me, explain that a little bit more, the question that you have to keep asking. Tell me what you mean by that.
So when you say, does my organization matter? If your organization closed its doors down today, would it matter to the stakeholders? Well, obviously it would matter to the employees. And would your customers care? Is there somewhere else that the customers can go to?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that should be the question that keeps senior leadership and everybody open, I want to say, awake, is how do I matter? How do I make a difference? Why do people purchase my product or service?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we go back to that of the relevance of organizations, I think is what you're talking about. And you know, there's the old models, right, of you can get so caught up in yourself that you don't realize what's going on around you. And so
I think SOAR and appreciative inquiry really connect to the work that you do with branding from the core.
Yeah.
And that's that positive core there and being able to identify it, because organizations need key capabilities in the strategy world. It's called core competencies to operate, like to be an automotive firm. But what are your distinctive competencies? And that's that positive core that your competition doesn't have.
Correct. The differentiator. Exactly. And if you're not always looking inside and outside, right, then the chances are that you won't remain relevant in a changing and a rapid and the speed at which. That's the other thing I think that as we look at appreciative inquiry, you know, the work you do, the work we do, the work and a lot of people doing across the country with this kind of framework, is that I think it's while it's always been powerful, in my opinion, the speed at which things are changing, the new generations of people, all of the factors of a changing demographic and a changing world seem to make this approach it's almost like it's not optional anymore. People don't respond well to sit in the cubicle and let me tell you what to do, and you don't need to know what else is happening in the world, right? So I think the timing, while I know SOAR's been around a while, you know, it may have a second life and a third life here because I believe it's even more relevant today than it's ever been. So from a standpoint of what you're seeing out there as you're working with clients and with organizations, and as you're doing, you know, your research, et cetera, you know, as you're looking at organizations, are there certain characteristics that you're seeing increasingly emerge around the people? And when I talk about herding people in this, you know, same direction, are there things you're seeing that the workforce is hungry for, that's looking for from leadership?
You know, I think they're looking for leadership to include me. And there's a saying by the, I think it's the Girl Scouts that say, you know, don't do anything about me without me. So, yeah. So they want to be included.
Saying. Yeah, that is a great saying, I think. So Jackie, from a standpoint of people, if people want to learn more about SOAR, because obviously we don't have time in the short 30 minutes that we have here together, what are some of the resources? Are there workshops out there on SOAR? Are there resources people can go to? Help us, give us a little bit of direction there. And just so everyone knows, what we'll do is we'll also post some of these links on our website at cordialogs.com. There'll be this version of a file of Jackie's interview, but we'll also have some of the links. So are there some specific places you can direct the people and our members of our Core Dialogues community to go and find and learn more about SOAR?
Yeah, so I would recommend two places. And first, I think I said it earlier, the Appreciative Inquiry Commons has lots of resources if you're interested on AI. And if you go to the SOAR Strategy website, as you said, this is simply a framework. So if you have existing things that you're doing, such as Lean Principles and Six Sigma and other things that you're doing for strategy and continuous improvement, on the SOAR website, you'll see free book chapters and articles, and there's also the Thin Book of SOAR. That it's a very simple framework. That I think after reading the Thin Book, there's complimentary articles, and there's book chapters that you can say, okay, I get the way that I have to think from a strength-based perspective. I have to consider more than senior management in my strategy and strategic planning process. I have to say it's not rocket science. It's a very simple framework that uses the appreciative inquiry approach to create strategic change in your organization at any level.
And I think the other thing that, let me just sort of kind of layer on that and say this, and I think it is what you're saying too, that SOAR can marry other things. Like you said, it can be implemented. It's a way of looking at things and with some approaches to questions and approaches to frameworks of how to organize conversation. Is that a fair way to talk about that?
Yeah, because, you know, SOAR is very flexible and can be scaled so that any organization can bring it into its strategic planning process, strategy conversations. And if you know, there's dozens of examples, but if I think back to the organizations that I've worked with really small community groups, a literacy group, mm-hmm. to help them design a strategy to bring in more funding so it wasn't so reliant on state and local funding. But I've also worked with a $2 billion tier one automotive supplier that they were going to close down the plant. And not only by closing the plant, you close the whole city down. Yeah. And so they use SOAR to create a strategy and come up with this innovation called a revitalization list. The parent company never had one. But again, they let this revitalization list, and the plant never closed. They did it. They created the strategy and plan themselves. and the plant got taken off the shutdown list. It's been used in healthcare, so it can be scaled to any type of organization.
Yeah, and I think the base of what Jackie is offers is this, that, you know, it's all about the questions that you ask. We have faith in the world of appreciative inquiry that the answers are always in the room. Our job is to ask the right questions. And I think SOAR provides, and if you go to the SOAR website or you read the Thin Book of SOAR, Jackie actually has provided some sample questions that you could use in your organization to really answer the questions that are the questions that can move your organization forward. So I think that's the other thing I think, Jackie, about this community of AI. It is a very giving community.
It is a very giving. And you can just, there's an article that was written in on the website called The Generative Nature of SOAR. And all those questions I mentioned, they're right in the article there.
Exactly. So if you're interested in looking at SOAR, how it can be applied to your organization, to the challenges of your challenges of herding all the cats, there is, as Jackie said, she's not exactly correct. I do think there's some magic in this and some a little bit more than common sense here in what she's created. And that, you know, but the basic belief here is that the answers are in the room. The questions that she is providing will help you engage your organization in figuring out how to get from point A to point B. And most importantly, it's going to unleash the spirit, I think, of people. And when that happens, as Jackie has seen, I certainly have seen it in our work, when you unleash that spirit, amazing things can really happen. So, Jackie, thank you for all your contributions to the world, you know, and to business, and for being my friend. I kind of like that, too. So
I wish you the best with Core Dialogues, and I was honored to be invited.
Well, thank you very much. We'll have you back on our next round. Thanks so much, Jackie. So thanks to Jackie Stavros, the co-author, co-creator, actually, of SOAR, which is basically a strengths-based strategy for helping organizations, as I just said earlier, herd the cats, get everybody on the same page, moving in the same direction. I think if you use SOAR, you'll see that there is magic that happens with the questions that are asked. So again, we thank you for joining us here this week. Next week, I'm going to be equally excited. Another friend of mine and colleague, and actually, I would count him as a mentor too, Jim Ludema from the Center of Values-Driven Leadership. Jim is out of Chicago at Benedictine University, and he has some really interesting perspectives that he wants to share with us about how organizations who really build their organizations around core values are winning not only in the perspective of bringing customers, employees, but also financially. So we're looking forward to that conversation with Jim. Again, if you want to look at any of our past shows, listen to any of the past shows, you can go to Core Dialogues, that's with an S, radio.com, and where all of the shows are posted. We will also have this show with Jackie posted along with the links to the references that she has provided. So again, thank you for joining us here. We'll look forward to seeing you next week on Core Dialogues Radio. Thank you so much.